Well, dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to the second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 6. Second Corinthians, chapter 6, reading verse 3 into the middle of verse 4. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers, the servants of God. And our title this evening is In All Things Approving Ourselves. Well, dear friends, we return to our series in the second letter to the Corinthians. The Apostle Paul, of course, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writing to the church in Corinth, and we have been working our way through this letter. Some of you may have forgotten that we were, because we've had quite a few interruptions, but this tremendous letter is full of instruction and teaching to strengthen us as believers, to challenge us, and to comfort us also. Indeed, we have already considered in this letter that God is the God of all comfort. And so we will find that challenge and comfort in equal measure, I trust, in our study this evening and next week, God willing. But last time we were in the letter, just to very briefly recap, we looked at the very start of chapter 6, and the Apostle Paul is speaking of how we are workers together with him, with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, we are the body of Christ. We are doing the work of the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth. Christ has risen. He has ascended up on high. He's at the right hand of the Father interceding for us, and we are doing his work below. He grants us the strength and the will to do his work, and that is what we are doing. We are working together with him. And we considered also what it meant in verse 2, to read about the time accepted, the accepted time. And this is speaking about the gospel age, beginning with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the only one who was accepted of God, the only one in whom the Father is well pleased. He is the accepted one. And the accepted time, well, it's the gospel age, when we trust in Christ and we are accepted by God in him. This is the accepted time, the gospel age. But of course, we never know how long the gospel age will last. And so that is why the Apostle Paul exhorts that now is the day of salvation. We do not know how long we have left this gospel age. We never know how long our lives will last. As we considered even this morning, God is in charge of all things. He is the one who determines our times. All the days of our lives are numbered. We are not in charge of how long we live. God is in charge. And so now is the day of salvation. We must come to the Lord as soon as possible. That's a great challenge for all those who are as yet outside the kingdom, who don't know the Lord. But the challenge this evening will be rather for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And well, in these verses that follow, well, he's speaking primarily of the ministry and ministers, and of course of himself and the other apostles. But all believers would be included in these words that we are about to consider. And well, we look at verse 3 to begin with, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. And well, really, these words before us, well, they will cause us to examine ourselves, to ask ourselves whether we are a hindrance or a stumbling block to the ministry, to the gospel, giving no offense, a stumbling block in anything. We all know those perhaps amongst our family members, our friends, who are not believers. Perhaps we have unbelieving wives or husbands or children or friends. And we always have to ask the question, is part of the reason why they do not believe, is it because of me? I am a believer. I have unbelieving friends. I pray for them. I witness to them. But actually, is part of the reason why they do not believe, is it because of me? Because I am not consistent in my Christian profession, my lifestyle, my habits, my character, the things I say, the things I do. Is that a stumbling block to someone coming to Christ? Because these things, they undermine my Christian faith. They undermine my Christian witness. This is the thrust of the Apostle Paul's reasoning here. The Apostle Paul has already said at the end of the last chapter that we are ambassadors for Christ. We are all ambassadors, chapter 5, verse 20. We are representing him. But what sort of representation do we make? What impression do we give? Is it a good impression or a bad impression, one that keeps people away from God? And well, we think of how this is practically worked out. For example, in the workplace, do people look at you and your conduct and they can see that you are often impatient, or you're often angry, or you're often irritable or unpleasant? Well, when they see that, it just strengthens their unbelief. It hardens their own heart against the gospel. It turns them off to the things of God. And that Christian, in a sense, can be blamed for that person not believing in the Lord, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. Indeed, that word blamed could equally mean mocked. Do you, through your conduct, through some of the things you do, cause the gospel to be mocked? If you're lazy, if you're coarse, if you swear, and people see that, well, they mock the Christian faith. This is supposed to be one of Christ's followers. This is somebody who goes to church. Don't make me laugh. You're causing the gospel to be mocked, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. And of course, well, ministers, as I've mentioned, and pastors, they have the greatest responsibility in this respect. You hear fairly often about ministers who have fallen into great sin and great scandal. And well, what does that do? It causes people to mock the gospel, to mock Christianity. Ah, you see, even the pastors, they can't control themselves. And again, the Apostle Paul is stressing this. Of course, a minister must not be a stumbling block in any way. And this is very challenging for myself. A pastor, a minister, even if he doesn't fall into any great sin, he can still be a stumbling block by his own conduct, by the things he does or doesn't do, his personal habits, the way he comes across. If he's too overbearing, if he's too pushy, that can put people off. That's a stumbling block. If he's too harsh in his preaching, if there's no sympathy at all in his preaching, that can be a stumbling block. Or if he preaches something just simply to give offense. On the other hand, if he's too light, if he's joking all the time, well, then that again can be a stumbling block. People will look at Christianity and think to themselves, oh, it's not really that serious. Look at this pastor. He's just laughing the whole time. It's a whole joke to him. So ministers, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. We must not be a stumbling block. Ministers, certainly not. But these words can apply to all of us, to all of us. And verse 4, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, as the servants of God, And of course, we are all the servants of God. Those of us who trust, those of us who believe, not just pastors, we are all the servants of God. And in all things, we are to approve ourselves. Well, really, that word approve means commend ourselves. Commend ourselves as the ministers of God. And well, how do we do that? We commend ourselves, well, by living lives that are extraordinary. Not ordinary lives, extraordinary lives. You know, it's not enough for a Christian and certainly for a minister to avoid sin, just to live a life without falling into a great sin. Because, well, that's no different to many worldlings, many people in the world, unbelievers. They can live lives, of course, their hearts are corrupt, they're unregenerate, but outwardly they can do a good job of living lives without falling into great sin. They can do that just as well as we can. But if we are to commend ourselves and to commend the gospel, we are to be extraordinary in the way we conduct ourselves, in the way that we do things. Because, of course, we are bringing to people an extraordinary message, an extraordinary faith, an extraordinary religion. That's what we are representing. An extraordinary Savior, the only Savior. And so our lives, in some ways, they are to communicate this to others in all that we do. Our lives are to have that that glow, for want of a better word. People are to look at us and to think to themselves, this is somebody extraordinary because of his faith, because of the faith he professes. And well, this was the case when people observed Christ. You know, we often read that they were so often astonished at the things that he said and the things that he did. They marveled. They glorified God. And of course, well, we cannot do the things that Christ did, the great miracles, but we can still cause people to marvel at the things that we do, at the way that we make a stand, at the way that we do not belong to the world, the way we respond to trials and difficulties. We can still cause people to marvel, to look at us and think this is someone extraordinary. And of course, Christ even, well, he commands us to do this. The Sermon on the Mount, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's Matthew 5:16. You know it very well. It's not just the works of the Lord Jesus Christ to cause people to marvel. It's our works, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So this is our great aim, and the Apostle Paul is going to explain how we approve ourselves. How do we approve ourselves? Well, the Apostle gives us the ways. In all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. Well, we notice straight away that the way we commend ourselves is through afflictions, through trials. This is the best way, in fact, that a Christian commends himself. How does he bear up in times of difficulty? This is the first thing that the Apostle Paul mentions: in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. And of course, well, he's speaking about the apostles also, because they had encountered many such things. But this is for our learning. And let's just take them one by one. I won't go into great detail in all of these. But the first thing that is mentioned here is patience. And really, we can take that as a standalone heading. Patience. Before we face afflictions, necessities, and distresses, we must have patience. And what does patience mean in this context? Well, the word in the Greek really means enduring, persevering, being steadfast, being undaunted, not just simply being able to wait for things, but undaunted, enduring and steadfast. In every situation, you have that attitude. In every situation, you are patient. You wait on the Lord. That's what it means. When things happen, you don't fall apart immediately. You don't panic. You wait upon the Lord. You know that the Lord will come to your aid. He will come to your aid. He will come to your assistance. He has promised to do this. So when you're faced with a trial, you don't fall apart. You wait. The Lord has said in his word, I will help you. I will not forsake you. So all I do is wait on the Lord. Patience, endurance we have, and I'm sure you're thinking of them already. Those glorious words in Psalm 27. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The psalmist, David, he would have fainted. He would have been lost, drowned in all his anxieties. But he believed that he would see the blessing of the Lord if he waited upon him. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, he shall strengthen thine heart. That's what that word means, patience. If we have patience, first and foremost, then we will be kept and helped in all that follows. In afflictions, we read. Perhaps this is better understood as persecutions. Persecutions in our lives. The Apostle Paul, when speaking about his afflictions in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 11 and 12, he writes, those persecutions and afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Afflictions. We will all suffer persecutions in different ways. We'll all be rejected in some way because we are believers and because we don't do certain things and because we don't join in with the world's pleasures. We'll be persecuted. We'll suffer hostility. We may even lose our jobs. We may lose our status. We may lose our liberty even because we love the Lord. But if we have that patience, we will be able to bear it, to bear those persecutions when we wait on the Lord. But those persecutions will come. Afflictions in necessities. Necessities speaks about shortages, times of need. Those times of need in our lives when we lack financially, for example. Well, we wait on the Lord. The Lord will provide. When we lack time, we're always so short on time. We need more time. What happens when we're short on time? We pray to God. Lord, I have so little time. Help me to do that which I need to do, even in this short time. I've mentioned it before, but remember the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes? How little that was. That's never going to be enough to feed 5,000 men and everybody else who was there. That's never going to be enough. But the Lord gave thanks. And not only was it enough, they had more to spare. That's how we deal with our necessities, with our times of need. We pray to the Lord and we will realize that the little that we have will be more than enough. Waiting on the Lord, you see. And then in distresses, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, well, these are those times when things suddenly come upon us, crises, unexpected and serious situations. and we are hard pressed. We're suddenly pressed or placed under immense stress and grief, distresses. I know a number of you have had distresses recently. We had quite a distressing time in this church just a few weeks ago. Suddenly, a number of us had COVID. Suddenly, there were incidents and accidents, very distressing, and we were so hard pressed. We were immediately placed into a position of great stress and anxiety. All that we could do was wait upon the Lord, and yet the Lord provided. The Lord kept us and helped us and even blessed. So in all of these things, we need not fear. In much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. And then verse 5, I must move on. In stripes, in imprisonments. Well, the Apostle Paul, he was not kept from harm all the way through his ministry. There were times when he was imprisoned. There were times when he was beaten. In stripes, he was scourged. He fell into the hands of his enemies, and he was beaten, well, in a very callous way, in a very cruel way, thrice beaten with rods, he tells us. He was stoned, and, well, he was not kept from harm in that sense. And, well, sometimes that troubles us. Why does God allow this to happen? Why did God allow these things to happen to the Apostle Paul? You're saying, Pastor, that we are to wait on the Lord, but sometimes the Lord allows these terrible things to happen. So how are we to understand this? Well, yes, he does. Yes, the Lord allowed the Apostle Paul to be beaten so many times, to be scourged. The Lord allows these things at times. We read in the book of Job, "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." Job chapter 3, verse 25. The thing that Job feared the most came upon him. That sometimes happens to us. The thing that we dread the most happens to us. Why? Why does it happen? Well, it's because the Lord wants to prove to us that he can bring us through. Even when the worst happens to us, the worst fears are realized, the Lord wants to show us, I can bring you through. Even in those times, as the psalmist says, again, David, Psalm 139, verse 11, "If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me." Well, we can all empathize with that. We can know times when a trial is too dark for us. It's too much for me, Lord. Only to find that if we wait on him, it's not dark at all. "Surely the darkness shall cover me, but even the night shall be light about me." And if the Lord can keep us, even in our worst fears, well, what else do we have to fear? We don't have anything to fear. The Lord wants to show us that. Even if the worst were to happen to you, I am with you. Wait upon the Lord, and we have nothing to fear. He can bring us through our worst fears. The stripes, the imprisonments, the tumults, that was the the occasions that the apostles faced when there were whole bands of people rising up against them, chasing them from place to place. They weren't spared that. Stripes, imprisonments, and tumults. But let's just, as we close, I won't go any further than verse 5. Let's just look at those last three things that are mentioned here. Labors, in watchings, in fastings. Well, what is important to note about three trials is that these are voluntary, willing trials. all that the Apostle Paul has mentioned before, well, really, these were trials that were forced upon them. The afflictions, the necessities, the distresses, they were forced upon them, as it were. This was the will of the Lord. They did not seek them out. But the labors, the watchings, the fastings, these are voluntary. These are willing trials that the apostles put themselves under. The labors, the exhausting work, the hard labor, of course, that's what the apostles willingly put themselves under. Hard labor. The Apostle Paul, as well as his ministry, he was a tent maker, working hard to provide for himself, working throughout the day, working throughout the night. But he was willing. That wasn't forced upon him, as it were. He was willing to do that so that he would not be a burden to the churches. And then there are watchings, in labors, in watchings. Really, the Greek suggests to us sleeplessness. They went without sleep. Again, the apostles, they would work throughout the night. They would pray throughout the night. They would serve others. They would forgo their rest. There would be those times when they would forsake that natural rest, that natural sleep, to fulfill their duties. They willingly did it. It wasn't sleep deprivation from an external source. They just gave up their right to sleep. They were prepared to do that. Their sleep and their food, in watchings, in fastings. Now, of course, there are religious fastings and they are helpful. But this, again, is speaking about those times when they just went without food at all. They were so busy in the ministry. There was so much work to do. Perhaps they didn't have money to buy food. They had given their money to someone in need. And so they didn't have even money to buy the food. But this was all willing. They went without food for the work's sake, for the Lord's sake. And well, this is extraordinary, is it not? We are amazed at such things, but this is the way we commend ourselves. This is how the apostles commended themselves as true apostles. There were many in the church at Corinth, or many who had been infiltrated, as it were, who were saying that, well, the Apostle Paul is not a true apostle. They were criticizing him. But the Apostle Paul is saying, this is how we commend ourselves: stripes, imprisonments, tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. This is how we commend ourselves. This is extraordinary. Those who see this, well, they will be compelled to seek after our God. If the apostles had never done this, if the Apostle Paul had made sure that he was never tired, if he had made sure that he always had a good night's sleep and that he always had three meals a day, that wouldn't be very impressive, would it? That wouldn't be extraordinary. But dear friends, this is what they did, to commend themselves and the gospel to others. And we should follow their example. Now again, we may not be called to the same level of service as the apostles. In fact, we won't be. But you know, when you look at the world around us, you look at how they give up all things for the things that they love. When I worked in the world of media, well, I knew many people, many colleagues, they would work almost 24 hours. They would work through the night if they had to in the office. They would skip their lunch breaks. They would go without food. They would go without sleep. Look at how the world serves its masters, serves its idols. Are we going to be undone by them? Are we going to simply show ourselves unworthy of our calling? Or are we actually going to present that bold witness? We do this and more for the gospel cause. This is worth the effort. This is worth the sacrifice, because Christ has loved us and given himself for us. We may not have to do the things that the apostles did, but we must do something akin to that self-sacrifice, self-denial, and the Lord will bless, the Lord will most surely bless your witness, the Lord will most surely bless the church, if we have this mindset, laboring for the Lord as the apostles did, and particularly the Apostle Paul. Well, we're out of time entirely, but we will continue with this passage, God willing, next week. May the Lord help us, each and every one, particularly the minister, to live according to the teaching of the Word of God.